podcast of 98FM's Dublin Talks. Remember, catch the show live Monday to Friday at 10 a.m. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy.
Now, first off on the programme, I want to run a Dublin Talks text poll. Now, this, I meant to mention this to you before, for text polls, it has to be sent by text message, okay? Not by WhatsApp, but by text message. And here is the question that I want to ask you, because I'm interested in the answer to this. So I want you to text the word yes or no to that number, 0877 98 98 98. And the question that I want to ask is, do you know how to perform CPR? Okay, now I know some of you are listening going, what does that stand for? If you don't know, well, then the answer is no. So the question once again is, do you know how to perform CPR? Just text the word yes or the word no to 0877 98 98 98. And just for our poll, if I can ask you to just send it by text message, not by WhatsApp, just by text. So, text the word yes or no to 0877 98 98 98. I'm very interested to find out what percentage of you listening to us right now actually know how to perform CPR. If I'm texting in, I would have to text the word no, unfortunately, because I don't. So, that's the question. Do you know how to perform CPR? Just simply text the word yes or the word no by text message only to 0877 98 98 98. I'd be very interested to see the results of that. Because, as you know, earlier on this week, a Dublin nurse was praised for helping to save the life of Dublin bus driver Martin Christie from Finglas. Aoife McGivney from Ballinteer recognised that he was in cardiac arrest and managed to perform CPR on him before the emergency services arrived. And like I said, we want to know if you've ever learned how to perform CPR. Did you ever have to do it? Would you know where to start? And do you, like a text that just came into us a moment ago, do you believe that it should be mandatory to teach CPR in schools, for example? Well, the incident has sparked the Irish Heart Foundation to spread awareness of CPR. And joining me on the line now is Celine McPhillips. She's a member of the Irish Heart Foundation's resuscitation team and delivers training in CPR around Ireland. Celine, welcome to 98FM.
Good morning, Adrian. Thanks for having me on your show.
It's timely that this incident, it's unfortunate that it happened, but it's timely that it got such coverage, newspaper-wise and so on, because it gives you a good reason to highlight this.
Absolutely. It's fantastic that it's such a good news story. About 5,000 people in Ireland die from cardiac arrest every year, and in reality, that's probably 13 lives are lost every day. And in fact, of these, 70% of these are actually happening in our home. And you can imagine it can have such a devastating impact on our families and kind of our community.
Okay, so for people who don't know, and they would be probably the people who texted no to our poll, what exactly is CPR?
So if you think of the word, it's CPR, it's cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So basically, it's performing chest compressions on the chest and you've been the human pump to try and restart the heart.
Simple as that.
As simple as that, yeah.
And it, obviously, when it's performed, it can save lives, as happened with Aoife earlier on in the week.
So you can actually double or even triple the chance of a person's chance of survival.
Oh, really? That much?
Yeah, exactly. And the earlier you can do it, the better. And what really made this a really good feel-good factor and what happened to Aoife acted so quickly. She recognised the cardiac arrest. And these are simple things that anybody can actually do, and making the emergency call and start in CPR immediately and quickly. So even the, you know, making sure the important message to get out there to people is actually that you can't do any harm by actually starting CPR, and to be able to ask for help early on, which happened yesterday, by calling the emergency services.
So how would you recognise that somebody needs CPR?
Well, basically by literally tapping their shoulders and asking, hello, are you okay? You know, checking for response.
And then if you're not getting a response?
And then if no response, then you're obviously going to call out for help. and call in our emergency services numbers like 112 or 999 asking for the ambulance. And another important thing is to let people know out there is if you know your air code and know exactly where you are, these are things that can help the emergency services get there quicker. And also by calling 999, when you call through to that number, you're going to get a dispatcher on the other end of the phone that's going to help you and give you instructions exactly what to do.
Actually, you've raised another interesting question, which I'm going to discuss in a couple of minutes, about whether or not people actually know their air code. I know awful lot of people who don't. Now, I happen to, because I live in a place where we're in the middle of nowhere and it's been very handy for deliveries and stuff like that. But I know an awful lot of people don't, and I'll come back to that in a second. But if I wanted to get training, and I'm interested in our poll, which shows that quite a few people actually do know how to perform CPR. But if I wanted to learn, and in fact, I admitted earlier on, I don't know how to do it myself. I know in theory how to do it. What's the best way, if you didn't go for training, what's the best way of even teaching somebody?
Well, even at the moment, even if you go to our website, www.irishheart.ie, there's even a video clip on there of how to perform CPR. But it's a good timely time at the moment, because we're soon going to be kicking off a new programme for our communities, which is going to be teaching the general public. It's a free CPR training supported by Abbott and ESB Networks, where we're going to be offering free training to about 100,000 people in our local communities in the coming years now. So, and people be able to get details about that on our website.
You obviously believe that this is a skill that everybody should be trained in.
Absolutely. My background.
Should it be done at school?
We have a CPR for Schools programme that's performed in post-primary schools. And the teachers and the students can participate in CPR in the schools.
But it's obviously not obligatory, is it?
At the moment, it's actually, you know, it is part of, they're trying to bring it into the transition year programme as part of the teaching and training of the TY programme in performing CPR as well. So it's definitely coming in there. A lot of our secondary schools in Ireland have actually had CPR for schools, and all they need to do is make contact with our CPR for schools team in the Irish Heart Foundation. And there's a programme there to help support teachers in offering this to their students. And there's some really good success stories about that, where students have actually used this skill and performed CPR on members of the public as well.
Okay, now finally, this is the bit I get confused about, and I'm sure other people do. Okay, so CPR is doing compressions on somebody's chest to try and basically restart their heart. What's a defibrillator used for then?
So if you think about it, a defibrillator is a small little computer. And basically, if you think about the heart, is the CPR is doing the pumping part, okay? And when this AED or defibrillator arrives, that computer is checking to see what state is the heart in and whether it's in an abnormal rhythm. And the computer or the AED or defibrillator will actually analyse and check the heart for you. And all you need to be able to do is simply have this device and turn it on and follow the prompts of the machine itself. And you don't need to worry about anything, because the actually AED or the defibrillator will actually advise you the steps of exactly what
to
do.
Very good. Yeah. And I'm seeing defibrillators in more and more places. Obviously, this is we have one in our building here at the radio station. I see them in phone boxes down the country. I'm seeing them regularly. And obviously, the rollout is continuing of defibrillators.
That's right, because if you think about it, when your heart is stopped, your chances of survival increases 10% per minute. So the sooner that defib gets to you, that's going to increase your chance of survival. Like that CPR, you can double the chance. When you're doing CPR, you're keeping the heart alive, you're keeping the blood going to all the vital organs, and you keep that going. An important message just to people is not to give up, to keep pumping, keep going. And even you've heard people, you know, pumping hard and fast. You've heard people saying to the song of Staying Alive, 100 to 120 beats per minute, pumping down on the chest, centre to chest, going for 2 inches, and keeping that going until the emergency services arrive. And most of all these emergency services are going to arrive as well with an AED. But if you have one in your local, you know, in your workplace there, everybody should know where that AED is. And not the important thing, the message to get out there is not to be frightened, because even if you have an AED, all you literally need to do is to be able to turn it on.
All right, brilliant. Well, you'd be interested to hear that out of the messages that we received, we ran just a very quick poll to ask people whether they know how to perform CPR. And interesting, I wouldn't have expected it to be quite this high, but 74% have said yes.
That's fantastic.
26% saying no, but 74% say yes, they do know how to perform it, which is fantastic, yeah. And I'm sure it's a nervy experience if you ever had to do it. It's a horrible experience, but it's a skill that we should all have. Interesting conversation. Thank you very much indeed, Celine McPhillips from the Irish Heart Foundation's resuscitation team. Thanks for talking to us on 98FM.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Amy.
I'd be very interested, just as something that you mentioned there a couple of minutes ago, and I've heard the ads on the radio. Do you know your air code? Because for those of you who don't know your air code, the air code is the most ingenious invention ever. Because all you have to do is give the ambulance service your air code and they can literally drive to your front door. You don't even have to give your address or anything like that, just your air code. Do you know your air code? I'd be very interested to know if you do, because it'll drive them straight to your front door. Laura, you're on 98FM. Hiya, Laura.
Hiya.
Laura, you sadly, and I'm terribly sorry to hear this, you lost your dad a couple of months back.
Yeah, 4 months ago.
While driving his taxi?
Yeah, he took a massive heart attack while driving his taxi. There was a nurse driving behind him, and saw his car swerve and pulled over to check was he okay, and realised he wasn't. And there was another taxi man pulled over as well. And they got him out of the car and performed CPR on him until the fire brigade and the ambulance got there.
But sadly, it wasn't enough, obviously, was it not?
No.
But it was at least a chance.
Yeah. And it meant he wasn't on his own either.
I'm terribly sorry to hear that, but that it is amazing that somebody should jump to his aid. I think we all have that in us, though, to jump to somebody's aid if we think we can help, especially in a situation like that. And obviously, you believe, Laura, that everybody should. It's a skill we should all have.
It's spurred me on to get training. I haven't done it yet, but I will do. But I think everyone should know it, because you don't know when it's going to happen. Somebody nearby or somebody close to you.
And it's sad that the tragedy of losing your dad has inspired you to go and learn this skill that we should all have. And maybe even listening to that story and hearing the story of the bus driver the other day would make more people think, right, OK, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to make it my business to learn it.
Hopefully.
And was your dad as fit as a fiddle before this?
Yeah, there wasn't a bother on him. Not a bother. He literally had his dinner, left the house, went down to get the Eagle. I never came home.
God, it just shows you never know when your number's up. You don't.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry for your loss, Laura, but I really appreciate you talking to us.
Thanks very much.
All right, but there you go. At least somebody, and as Laura said, he didn't die on his own. He had somebody there with him who was trying to perform CPR on him. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. But 74% of you know how to perform CPR. Which is very interesting. Where am I going to next? Stephen, you're on Dublin's 98FM. So how are you, Stephen?
How's it going?
Now, you're a bus driver, Stephen.
I am. I work for a private company. I do kind of private tours around Ireland.
Okay. And you know how to perform CPR?
Yeah. I wouldn't be fantastic at it, but I do. We do. We get a person coming in into our company that teaches us how to do it. And we just we were just told on one of the days, and then about 3 months ago when I was doing a tour, there was a passenger on the bus, and he was having a breathing problem. He was having kind of a breakdown or something. I don't know what happened exactly. And he was coming back from a long walk, and he wasn't feeling that great. And I managed to come to his aid on the bus and got him into the procedure. And
so you actually had to perform it.
Well, we had to a certain extent, yeah. And I was very lucky because I had a bit of staff there that was there. It was actually happening in Glendalough where it all happened. And I managed to, fair play, there was a lot of great staff there and they came and helped me. But I managed to get him in a situation where his heart was calming down. And it was nerve-wracking because I've never done anything like this with a real person. And but it was great. I felt wonderful after. Like, I felt like I managed to help this person through this. And the thing is, most bus companies don't do it. But
okay, so it's not mandatory. You could be driving around the country for like 3 hours on end with passengers in your bus, and it's not mandatory for bus drivers to have to do it.
I don't think so. No. I to be honest, I know that certain private companies do it just to cover themselves. I don't think Dublin Bus does it now. I think I'm not 100% certain, but I think Air Coach does it. I'm not sure.
Okay, that's interesting. And you would think that it's a skill, particularly on something like a bus that you're travelling for distances, that it would be compulsory. But yeah. Anyway, the point being that you've had to perform it. You are happy that you had that skill.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have it. Like, to be honest, like I don't have a lot of confidence in myself, and it kind of boosted me up to see I managed to do something like that and help somebody.
That's fantastic. That's brilliant, Stephen. It's lovely to hear as well. Come here, just as a by the way, do you know your air code?
I don't actually.
No.
I just moved there briefly down to Mullingar, so I don't know where it is, but it's down here.
All right, okay. No, I'm going to encourage people to, even in the city where you think they'll know exactly where your house is, it really does help. But anyway, so go learn your air code. A lot of interest in this about CPR and knowing CPR. Have a listen to this WhatsApp message.
Adrian, my daughter works in SuperValue, and there's always two or three members of staff on with a full first aid, because a lot of people are always collapsing in there and need resuscitation or some kind of help. I just think that anybody working with the public should be or should have the first training, definitely first aid training, definitely.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. 6797981 is our telephone number. Now let's have a listen to this WhatsApp message.
Adrian, it's true what you said. When your number is up, your number is up. My father passed away just there in October from cardiac arrest. He was actually in hospital, and they couldn't bring him back. So it's just as good that nurse was on the bus there and was able to help.
All right, thank you very much indeed. Now, let me just bring in one last call on this, and that is Victor. So, Victor, tell me about what has happened to you working in a restaurant.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Victor.
Just I had a few cases on people that just enjoying their meal, you know, and then just choking with the meat or the food in general. And this is very dangerous as well, because they can lose their life in about 3 minutes. So just because I had a lot of training in Heimlich maneuver and first aid, I was able to save their life. So
this happened on three occasions.
Three occasions. I don't know. Maybe I was. It just happened when I was on duty.
Wow.
I mean, working in 20 years in the industry. So basically, it just happened. You don't know when it's gonna come. And it's not. We are talking about here, not just talking about first aid or CPR, and talking about allergens as well. It's very important for people to know and to acknowledge how important it is, especially when you're working with people or in public services. How important it is to have this.
And don't name any restaurants, but in any restaurants that you might work in, do they have defibrillators?
Yes.
Oh, they do. That's becoming more common.
Do. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you really are a hero, aren't you? I mean that in the nicest. I said you really are a hero. Three different times you've had to perform it.
I don't call myself hero. I don't
expect you to call yourself a hero, but I'm going to call you a hero. I think that's fantastic that on three separate occasions you've had to help people that were choking and Heimlich manoeuvres and CPR and all of that, which is fantastic training to have.
It is fantastic training, especially when you see people that they need help and you can actually help them. It is very important.
Brilliant. Well done, Victor. And finally, Jessica, you're a carer, and I believe it's compulsory for carers to know CPR.
Yeah, it's part of a course that we used to do. I did mine a couple of years ago.
And so, you had to put it to use.
Sorry?
You had to put it to use.
Yeah, I was collecting my partner from work one day, and I was just parked sitting in the car, and this man was cycling by, and he stumbled off his bike, and so I thought he just fell off his bike, and he kind of fell off his bike behind the Jeep, so I couldn't see what was happening, but there was another man there, and I just seen him like waving to the security man to kind of ring for an ambulance. So I jumped out and I grabbed a blanket because it was quite cold. And when I went over, he was blue and he was gasping for breath. And I checked his vital signs, realised he wasn't breathing. So at that time, security at Parkwest were brilliant. They came down with a defibrillator. And I just grabbed the scissors out of the pack that was there, cut his top open and started CPR. And like everyone around the area was really good. There was like, not doctors, they perform surgery, not surgery, what you call it, if you're getting something done, your lips done or something. So they all knew, obviously they have to know it as well. They all came down, but I was doing the CPR and waiting on the emergency. You feel like you're doing it for ages, but you're actually not. You're only doing it for a couple of minutes until the ambulance arrived. Now, sadly, that man, he passed away. But I was glad that I knew it. I didn't panic. I wasn't nervous.
That's fantastic. In fact, it is sad when the person passes away, but at least you tried. And you heard that lady on a while ago talking about her own dad and what she said. And it's kind of sad to hear her saying it, but she was able to say at least he didn't die alone. Somebody was...
Well, I got in touch with his wife and his sister afterwards, and they took great solace from the fact that he wasn't alone. I held his hand and I tried everything I could. So the fact that that's, I think, what most people, they do just be happy that they weren't alone.
Absolutely. Well, well done you as well, Jessica. That's fantastic. And let me just bring in one last call on this, and that's you, Mikey. An appropriate call, actually, to finish off on. You survived cardiac arrest.
I did, Adrian, yeah. 2014, yeah.
And you were saved by ambulance staff?
Yeah, to make a long story short, I wasn't feeling well one Saturday night, and I said to my wife, look, I'm going up to bed, I don't feel well, you know. So I was tossing and turning, couldn't sleep all night, and I think my wife, now that I think of it, was afraid to go to bed in case, because she had an idea, you know. So she came up and said to me, look, she said, I think you're having a heart attack, and I started laughing at her, you know. So she says, come on, we bring you down to hospital. And I said, oh, no, you know. So I left for another half an hour or so, and she said, look, she says, I'm going to call the ambulance. So I said, right, okay, call an ambulance. So the ambulance man came up to me into my room, and he asked me, you know, the questions that he asked you, and I said, yeah, I don't feel too well, or this and that. So they said, right, we'll take you down to the hospital. So I said, okay, grand. So, Adrian, I walked down the stairs of my house, down the garden, and as soon as I got to the ambulance, that's it, bang. My heart stopped, and they were walking on me outside the house for about, I think, about 45 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
And you obviously don't remember any of this, do you?
I remember walking down the front garden and just getting to the back of the ambulance, and that was it.
Wow.
So they operated on me there that night, and I think I was out for about 2 or 3 days, and lucky enough I'm still here today.
But without the unbelievable skills of the emergency services...
Only for them, Adrian.
You wouldn't be here.
If I had gone down to the hospital with my wife in the car, I was a goner.
And how are you today? That was in 2014, so 5 years later you're still here, obviously.
I'm still here. Funny enough, I gave me bloods there the other day and everything came back grand. Just me sugar levels up a bit high, and they're going to keep an eye on that. But other than that, I'm back walking, I'm doing things, you know, I'm doing normal things, basically.
That's fantastic. I'm delighted to hear it, Mikey. Thanks very much. So. Thanks very much indeed. And again, as we said, it's a skill we should all learn.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Because you never know. Like, I honestly, God, I never thought something like that was going to happen to me.
Of course, yeah. All right, stay in good health, Mikey, and great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much indeed. And let's just finish this up with one more WhatsApp voice message.
My brother was in the Order of Malta for a number of years, and he was trying to get into the ambulance corps for a long time. He was over in the Northside Shopping Centre, and he just by chance, somebody called him aside and asked, was he trained in CPR as somebody was having a heart attack. So he saved that person's life. 2 days later, the ambulance corps rang him and offered him a position within the ambulance corps. He was delighted, and it all worked out.
That's fantastic. All right. And finally, if you want to get in touch with the Irish Heart Foundation, perhaps to learn CPR, their number is a Dublin number, 01-668-5001. So that's 01-668-5001. And again, as I said to you earlier on, learn your air code, because there's a great ad on the radio that, you know, your man's all confused. My mother's having, she's not well. And what's your address? Oh, I don't know. Do you know your air code? Oh, it's stuck here in the fridge. And I'm looking at Jeremy here, who's in the studio
with
me.
Don't ask me, because it's embarrassing.
Because I know you don't. No, I know by the look on your face. You should know it. You should know it. And I want to encourage everybody to know their air code.
How do you know it? Where do you find it? What's...
You can go online,
okay,
onto the Aircode website, and you zoom in on your house, bang, that'll tell you. You got it sent in the post to you a couple of years ago when they were released.
I remember getting it, John.
And I think that even if you did live in a housing estate and you think, oh, yeah, they'll know how to get here, it literally pinpoints your address. It literally brings them to your front door. You know where I live, in the middle of nowhere in North County Dublin. If a delivery guy can't find our house, just give him the air code, bang, he's there 5 minutes later.
You know, there's another issue, and it's something that the Dublin Fire Brigade are constantly going on about. It's the inaccessibility of some roads in Dublin. So say, for instance, Mrs. O'Brien has a heart attack and she lives on the avenue, Adrian, mm-hmm. and the ambulance are called for Mrs. O'Brien. And in a lot of roads in Dublin and housing estates, the roads are so narrow and you have people double parking, pulling up on the path, and ambulances. And I know most of you do it. Jesus, I've done it myself, where you drive into a housing estate and you park your car up on the path, not realising that you're actually blocking the road if an ambulance needs to get down.
Absolutely.
And it's horrific to think that your parking could be a case of life and death. That Miss O'Brien doesn't get an ambulance in time to her house because you parked your car up on the road. I mean, you drive through the likes, I drive through Drimna and Crumlin every day, where they're all very narrow roads in the States. And God forbid an ambulance has to get through Drimna. Yeah. Or it's just something
to be aware of. Three things to take away from the show today.
Yes.
Learn CPR, learn your air code, and don't be double parking on roads where ambulances can't get up.
Done.
Done. Thank you very much indeed. It's 98FM's Dublin Talks.
98FM's Dublin Talks with Des Kelly Interiors. New store now open at Belgard Road, Tallaght. 98FM.